Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. And in a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Spiritually, we all begin our lives as orphans. And in a certain sense, it's not really our fault. From the moment we were conceived in sin. We were conceived separated from the Lord God Almighty, who had just moments before created us. We're conceived and born as rebels. Rebels against God's authority, rebels against God's will. Our rebellion is consistent in wanting us to make our own way, to make our own choices, and to be who we want to be, not who anybody else wants us to be. And this rebellion, this running away from God, makes us orphans. It is a death in a certain sense. And as orphans and runaways, then we get to make our own way. But we also have to fend for ourselves. There's no one there to call us theirs. There's no one there to call us our own. There's no one there to fuss over us. There's no one there to sacrifice for us. There's no one there to share their views and their values with us. There's no one there to hope for us, to shape us, to create themselves in us. There's no one there to multiply our joys and no one to divide our sorrows and no one to give us hope. This is what sin does. This is the result of our rebellion against God. It separates us, it disconnects us, it breaks us down, it leaves us on our own. And it leaves us dependent upon nobody. But the good news here for us today is that Jesus has promised not to leave us as orphans. He promises that he will not leave us on our own. Before we could even line up in a straight line and play follow the leader, our Lord God had claimed us. Most of us were claimed even before we can remember it in the waters of baptism brought as infants. God did that. God claimed you. And when the Lord reached out from eternity and laid claim upon you, in the waters of baptism, he declared you to be his, and you are his. You are his very own. You are heirs of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus has sacrificed his soul for you. And we are the ones who then receive his values. We are the ones who then receive a future as heirs of the kingdom of heaven, and our joys are multiplied and our sorrows have been divided. And we're by heirs of heaven by adoption. Now, adoption is rarely inexpensive. It might be one of the most expensive ways to get a child. It costs, and it costs. For our Lord Christ to adopt us, it literally meant giving the shirt off his back, the flesh off his back, that we might bear his name. In Jesus Christ, he gave everything that we might be adopted as children and heirs of the heavenly kingdom. He gave his health, his life, his grace, and his death to make us heirs of the kingdom of God. Because he has paid the price. He has the right to call us what we are, which is no longer orphans, but children of the heavenly Father. One of the most powerful, most dramatic, maybe even tenderest ways in which the Lord communicates what adoption means is through our own godly mothers. Many of us have had such godly mothers who from our very outset assured us that there was a God who had created us, who is in love with us, who loves us with a steadfast love, who gave himself for us, who emptied himself for us, who gave us an unwavering and saving and sustaining faith. Throughout our lives, whatever else we learned or whatever else we experienced, we at least knew the love of a godly mother. It is the same way in which God has called you out of the world. You are his children. God has promised, I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. I am. We who have been blessed by God with such mothers have wonderful stories to tell. And amazing experiences with our own mothers. Mothers who were confirmed that we did not follow a God that had no redeeming value. Mothers who never hesitated to tell us about their faith. Mothers who did so with gentleness and tenderness. Some mothers were more violent than others, but for those of you who had tender and gentle mothers, good job. Way to go. There are many reasons for honoring mothers. Partially because, well, God commands us to do so. Honor your father and mother. But the best reason is that there are those who helped to they were the ones who helped to deliver the faith of God unto us, continually reassuring us that we are not orphans, that God has provided. If you have a chance to tell your mother thank you on this Mother's Day, I encourage you to do so, to thank her for her gift of faith, for the example that she has shown unto you throughout this life. If you're a mom, I know you're going to treasure these expressions of love. Enjoy them. They are hard fought and well earned. But treasure most of all the evidence that you have in the lives of your children. For you have heard the gentle encouragement that we are orphans no longer. Some mothers have done the best they could to teach their children about God, but their children have ignored their messages. They have rejected those messages. I would encourage you to continue to pray for those children. Continue to model for those children. Oppose them if you need. There's no sense turning those little urchins into idols, right? Sometimes they need to be told no. And they need to be told no in the most harshest of terms sometimes, depending on how stubborn your child is. Long ago, there was a child who had been given a very devout Christian mother. This boy followed in the ways of his mother until his teens. In his teenage years, he turned away from God, became a runaway, actually. He not only turned away from God, but he turned away from his mother and turned away from his father. He cursed his mother, he cursed the God of his mother, he ridiculed her, berated her for the faith that she held so dear, he verbally attacked her, lived a life that ridiculed her faith and mocked her values. But later on in life, this child saw the error of his ways and the falseness of his own way. He repented and returned unto God. Much later in life, he recorded that part of his return, not the only part, but part of his return, he could clearly see later in life, was the constant prayers to God and this constant modeling of the Christian faith that he had seen in his own mother. A constant devotion that never wavered. Oh, how the heavens must have sang when the prayers of a righteous woman were heard. Now, you may have guessed that our son's not really unfamous. He is a famous member of the church. We now call him Saint Augustine. The great-grandfather of the Reformation. Remind you that Luther started his religious career out as an Augustinian monk in the Augustinian order, an order that almost en masse converted into the Evangelical Lutheran Church, or the Evangelical Church, which became a Lutheran Church. St. Augustine who trained almost Luther himself and brought him into the truth of an infused righteousness given by God unto humanity. Now, we have no way of seeing the future of every kid, and not every kid can be an Augustinian. But you never stop being a mom. 50, 60 years of momming ain't easy, right? And teach your children about God. Pray that they might understand. That they might someday see the light. All mothers teach their children to worship something. Something is very important. Some value the God of athletics. Others give great worth unto the gods of music and culture. Being a godly mother or father, for that matter, can take heart and pride in knowing that, yes, the Christian faith has been taught in word and deed and actions, continue to model that faith. It is a nonstop message that you are not an orphan. You are an heir unto the kingdom of God. To be said, that's really the only thing that we can do on this side of heaven. There are a great many in the world today who think they are orphans. Sadly, they're doing the best that they can to make their way with very little guidance and even less sense. Many who ought to know God, who had claimed them to be their own, and yet the God of grace continues to call them through his sacrificial love, which says what he has declared unto us today, I wish to fuss over you. I have sacrificed for you. I have given you my values. I've laid them out there for you to read and to model and to emulate. And if you will come, if you would be willing, I will multiply your joys and I will divide your sorrows. And I wish very much to give you hope. God declares that we are his. And his love is steadfast and sure. And you are orphans no more. Orphans no more. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. In Jesus' name, amen.